Hello, everybody. Welcome back into Locked On Colts, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Seder, and joined by a very, very special guest today. We had him on during the spring, and he's back now as we're really previewing the draft for the first time on this podcast again for the 2020 draft. Dane Brugler, The Athletic. How are you today, Dane?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Appreciate the time. If you guys haven't already subscribed to The Athletic, go ahead and do so because Dane provides A-plus analysis. He's a vital tool for me during the draft to learn about some prospects. And I want to talk to you, Dane, about this 2020 draft class. First off, how does this stack up compared to when we talked last time after the 2019 draft? How would you rate this draft compared to 2019? Is it stronger up top or is it more depth?
I think this draft has the potential to, because we don't know the underclassmen yet. You know, that's still a process that is going to be fluid here the next month or so as these guys declare. But if we don't have any huge surprises where someone goes back to school or something like that, then this draft has a chance to be, I think, really loaded depth-wise and at the top. I think we only have one, quote-unquote, elite guy. I mean, Chase Young from Ohio State, I think, is kind of on a tier by himself. But I think that there's a lot of quality players in the top half of round one and, you know, total first round grades and things like that. And at key positions, offensive tackle, corner, I think wide receiver is going to be a position that's well represented in the first round. So I think this draft has the potential to be a really talented group that, maybe more so than last year.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this 2020 draft class because it's going to be in Las Vegas in April. I hope to be there too, covering it for the Locked On Podcast Network. But if not, I think this draft is going to be super fun up top, like you mentioned, and throughout the draft. But I want to talk to you, Dane, today just about the Colts overall. When you're looking at this team from a draft perspective, it's been a disappointing year so far for the Colts, especially after a 5-2 start, now 6-6. Could be like an 8-8, 7-9 team. When you look at this Colts team, you actually had CeeDee Lamb of the Oklahoma Sooners go into the Colts in your latest mock draft, which I love from the Colts perspective. But what needs, when you look at that Colts team, are the biggest for them?
Oh, I think it starts at quarterback. Jacoby Brissett is a nice player, but I think that the Colts will be looking for an upgrade if they want to get where they want to go. And do they see that quarterback in this class? I don't know. I think it's possible. We'll have to see, what does Jordan Love do at Utah State? What does Jacob Eason do at Washington? Because, the Colts, just say they end up picking somewhere between 15 and 20. It would take a pretty hefty, package of picks to go up and get that quarterback if they, want to get into the top five or top 10, which is probably not realistic for them, just knowing how, Chris Ballard views things. So, I think that they're going to have to take a long look at quarterback. I know Chris Ballard has, he spent extensive time looking at Jordan Love this year. And Love is maybe one of the few guys that the NFL loves a lot more than the public seems to, just because I know the stats aren't great, has not had a great year, but the context matters in terms of, what he's been asked to do this year, brand new coaching staff, one of his offensive linemen returning. That was the only returning starter on that offense this year, aside from Love. So, all things considered, and you just look at the tools, teams are going to bet on those tools every time. And so Jordan Love, if he declares, he still has a very good chance to go in the first round. Then I think the Colts would make some sense. Anything, they need to get better on the defensive line. I pleasantly surprised with kind of the contributions from their rookies in the secondary. Willis at safety, even Marvell Tell, I thought has done well. And then, of course, Rocky Sin. So I don't know how much secondary becomes a need for them, but I think definitely in the front seven, you can never have too many pass rushers. They need some help on the defensive line. I think they need a playmaker on offense, whether that's a guy like CeeDee Lamb, who could play on the outside, can, help you out inside, whatever you need, can maybe be that playmaker you're looking for.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought those three positions, Dan, because those are actually the three I want to hit on with you today, which is quarterback, wide receiver, and defensive tackle. And the first one you brought there, Jordan Love, really, when we heard about Chris Ballard scouting him extensively, and we heard he was at the Boise State, Utah State game, a lot of Colts fans were, their ears perked up a little because that's the first time I've heard a quarterback really extensively linked to the Colts. It's been like that really all throughout the season with them. What's your thoughts on Jordan Love, Dane? Because it seems like if you just look at the box score, it doesn't tell the whole story at all, because you see the talent pop off the screen with Jordan Love. How would you evaluate a prospect like Jordan Love, especially with the circumstances he's under this year?
It is tough because, again, the physical traits are there. I mean, he is a very athletic, good-sized player with a loose arm, a very easy release. I mean, it looks like he's throwing a Nerf ball with how easy it comes out of his hand, how effortless his motion is, very quick feet. And he's a tough kid. So there's plenty to like right there when you talk about some of the physical attributes that he offers. Now, him being a consistent passer, you know, coming down, talking about mechanics, talking about placement, that is something where it's a work in progress, and he shows signs of it. He is actually a beautiful touch thrower down the field, but he does get a little stubborn with his reads, locking onto his preferred target, and that kind of screws up the timing of the play. There are times where, especially on outbreaking routes, he'll either sail it or throw it low. So, I mean, there are areas of his game where he needs to improve and get better, but a lot of it, I think, is fixable as long as you feel comfortable with him after you meet with him. And so if he declares, I think Jordan Love will be drafted based off of how he interviews, basically. Just so teams are trying to figure out the person, where he is mentally in his development, because he has special arm talent. He's a good-sized athlete. The toughness is there. There's a lot of boxes that he's going to check. But it's an intangible position. And so leadership-wise, you know, what's his football acumen? You know, is he a guy you can see coming in, developing for a year, and then being your leader? That's something that teams are going to have to try and figure out between now and draft day. And I think if they get the right answers, Jordan Love is going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Dane, because I've seen reports just about if Love's going to go to the draft, he's going to transfer. What have you heard so far on that? If there's anything that we've heard recently about Jordan Love, is he going to be a prospect who goes out right now, or do you think he's maybe a candidate to transfer, let's say, at Texas Tech to reunite with his offensive coordinator, Oklahoma?
At Texas Tech, right? I've been told 50-50, you know, and I believe it just because it sounds like he's putting a lot of thought into this. Like he's not making a – he didn't come into this year thinking, yeah, I'm going to be going pro after this year. I mean, he's keeping an open mind to it. Now, would he transfer? I think he's set to graduate in January. So that is important, or December. So that is important because, you know, he would be eligible for the Senior Bowl, which would be huge. You know, it'd be a key part of his evaluation, but he could also transfer if he wanted to. I don't know if he would or not. There's, you know, I've talked to scouts who believe that he will. I've talked to scouts that think that there's no way he would. That's just not the person that he is. He's, you know, he's not going to, you know, even though it's not the coaching staff that he committed to, you know, he's just not the type of guy that he is. He wants to finish it out at a school. So I really don't know. I'm waiting like everybody else to find out. And I've done my evaluation on him, and I feel pretty good about where I am right now. And but we're missing a key piece, and I think that's something we'll figure out if he does declare, and hopefully he accepts a Senior Bowl invitation, because I think that'd be a great launching pad for him. You know, Josh Allen did the same thing, came out as a redshirt junior, was eligible for the Senior Bowl, and that what he did in Mobile helped him go top 10 overall.
Continuing on the quarterback trend here for a second, Dane, Justin Herbert, I think, might not be a quarterback in the Colts range, but if his stock does slip a little bit, it could be possible there. He's been a really tough evaluation for me because when I turned on the Washington game, for example, the Arizona State game, I saw some really bad flaws. When you turn on the Arizona game, you see some really eye-popping talent from Herbert. How do you grade Justin Herbert compared to the rest of this class?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good way to put it because he is a frustrating player because there you see the physical traits. They're obvious. You know, he's 6'5", 240, and he's a remarkable athlete. The arm talent's awesome. And he's a great person, like high character. You know, you're not going to worry about him away from, you know, the football facility. You know, he's going to put the work in. He's a 4.0 student and just a very intelligent person, but he's not an alpha. And that's going to be a problem for some teams. My biggest issue is even though he is a very smart person, his decision-making is flawed, especially, you know, when he's pressured and he's moved from a spot and he has to improvise a little bit. He gets frazzled, and a lot of times that leads to the wrong decision. A lot of times that leads to just a head-scratching throw. And so, you know, Herbert, there's a lot to like, but there's just seems to be something missing from the evaluation. And there might be a team in the top 10 that says, you know, we'll bet on all the traits that he offers. We'll be able to coach up the rest, but it wouldn't be a surprise if he falls out of top 10 and, you know, maybe the Colts become more interested, but maybe the Colts are going to be skeptical for the same reasons that, you know, we just mentioned. So he is a very interesting evaluation. And for a lot of reasons, just like Jordan Love, I think that the pre-draft process will tell us a lot more, because how he does in interviews and how he interacts with teams, that's going to be a big step of the process for him.
Next one on the list here for you, Dane, Jacob Eason. I actually watched a few games of yesterday myself. Obviously, the arm talent pops off when you watch the film, but his decision-making is a little bit frustrating at times. How would you grade Eason on this draft class? Because I feel like he could be an option, maybe not even in round one, maybe that Redskins pick for the Colts, if they feel like maybe he could be a guy you could tap into some talent there.
Yeah, or, you know, even a guy you trade up for five spots or something, you know, to get that fifth year option, something like that. I think that makes sense. He's a tall, sturdy, strong-arm passer. I mean, you, like you said, it's the velocity, the arm power is elite. You know, it's Matthew Stafford-like. But he's kind of like a bigger Matthew Stafford. He has that the arm talent that just really flashes, but he is a little bit of a slow-footed athlete, and he's not a bad athlete, but he's just not the most fleet of foot. And when he's pressured and he's forced to move from a spot, that's something that is a struggle for him. And so I do question, you know, if he's ready. I think a lot of people are telling him to go back to school, and so we'll have to see what he does. I think that, you know, he can get better with his instincts in the pocket and with his decision-making. Because I think a lot of that is experience-based. I mean, this is a player who played as a true freshman at Georgia and then didn't play the last 2 years. He was, you know, he got hurt second game is in 2017 and then sat out all of last year, 2018. And then this year he's back on the field, but you could tell he's just not ready yet. And so he needs to do what's best for him. But I think that he should strongly consider going back to school where he can get better and improve as a quarterback, because he'll be better off long-term. And so I think that would be the best option for him. But if he does declare, decent shot of going in the first round because of you know, the strengths that he offers and a team believing that with more experience, he'll get better in some of those areas where he's deficient.
The final quarterback I had for you, Dan, on this list is one that a lot of Colts fans seem intrigued by, especially with the latest rush of athletic quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson. You throw in Patrick Mahomes in that mix. He's definitely not on this level, I don't think, but Jalen Hurts has caught some eyes from some people. One, do you think Jalen Hurts is an NFL starting caliber quarterback? And two, where would you rank him amongst this class, and what kind of round projection would you give him?
I feel like this is a cop-out, but and I've said this with all the other quarterbacks, but so much of this the quarterback discussion is going to be decisions are going to be made during the pre-draft process, because Jalen Hurts, it's just tough in that Oklahoma offense, and because there are a lot of things that really worry me about him as the next level. He tends to hold the ball way too long. He will telegraph his throws, throwing late and just giving defenders a chance to make a play. He does not anticipate very well. I have some strong concerns with Jalen Hurts at the next level. I think right now he's more of a third or fourth round guy, and I think he has a chance to get into, say, the second or third round conversation, you know, just squarely a day two player if he impresses at the Senior Bowl and the Combine. But, you know, outside of that Lincoln Riley offense, but if he doesn't answer some of those questions that I just mentioned, then I think he's more the fourth or fifth round discussion. You know, I don't think that he is this slam dunk top 100 player that a lot of people have said that he is, just because there's a lot of concerns about him as a passer. So how he does during the process, removed from that Lincoln Riley scheme, and, you know, just kind of how he develops as a passer during the Senior Bowl, during workouts, that's going to be a big part of the equation for Jalen Hurts. We know about the intangibles. The guy is a competitor. He's you know, very businesslike. I mean, he's a good athlete, not a great athlete, not Lamar Jackson-like, but a pretty good athlete where he's going to extend plays. There's a lot of things working for him, but there's also some things, notably as a passer, that really worry about you, worry me, I should say, at the next level in his NFL evaluation.
Before we go on to our next segment here with Dane Brugger, diving in on all of the 2020 wide receivers that could be in consideration for the Indianapolis Colts on day two or even day one, I want to tell you guys, if you haven't already subscribed to Locked On Colts, the only daily Colts podcast out there. if you haven't already, you're really missing out on some great content. We have Zach Hicks, Stampede Blue. We have George Bremer, the Herald Bulletin, Kevin Bowen of 107.5 and 1070 The Fan. And we also have JakeArthurColts.com and also some other special guests all throughout the season. So if you haven't already, go and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to Locked On Colts. Moving on to the wideouts here, Dan, as we close out the show here the last 10, 15 minutes, I wanted to ask you just a philosophical question about the wideouts before we dive into some prospects here. Do you feel like today's NFL, or is this maybe more based on team need, where do you go more size when you see a guy like T. Higgins, you see a guy like maybe Chase Claypool on day two, or do you maybe load up on speed like Kansas City did with all Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill? Do you go in the Henry Ruggs direction? What do you value more in wideouts nowadays?
I think we can overthink it sometimes. The wide receiver position is about two things. Can you get open? Can you catch the football? That's all I care about. Now, if you do that because of your size, great. If you do it because of your speed, that's also great. So, you know, a guy like T. Higgins, not a speedster by any means, but his ability to expand his catch radius and the reflexes, the hand-eye coordination, it's just remarkable. And that's going to be a valuable skill at the next level when you don't have to be pinpoint with your throws to him. You just throw it up there and let him climb the ladder. And more times than not, he'll make a play over the defensive back. And that is absolutely a skill that will translate to the next level. Now you're talking about Henry Ruggs, who's going to run in the 4.3s at worst, you know, maybe even higher, and has the competitive makeup that you want. He's developed nicely as a route runner, as a pass catcher. He works in a different way, and he has a little more juice after the catch, but he's not going to be as good in contested situations. So I really think it's all about what you're looking for and what you value, because again, it just comes down to, can you get open and can you catch the football, finish catches? Different wide receivers do that in different ways. And so I think this wide receiver class, I don't think we're going to have a clear cut consensus number one wideout. There's just so many different types of receivers that are going to interest teams depending on what they need inside, outside, size, speed, route runners, or, you know, guys that finish in traffic. Then just so many different things you look for at the position, and different opinions vary throughout the league. So it's going to be interesting to see the order of these receivers, how many go in the first round, how many do any go in the top 10. I don't think it's, by any means is a lock that we see one or a few of these guys go that early. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
I have about four guys I wanted to talk to you about, Dane, because I feel like all these four of these guys could be in that Redskins pick range, that early second round range. I feel like there could be a lot of wideouts to go very early on in day two, not as well if you count day one as well. But I think the most intriguing one on the list, he might go round one here, Laviska Shenault. He's a physical freak when you watch him on film. Where would you grade Shenault amongst the elites of the 2020 wide receiver class?
He was actually my number one receiver coming into the year. Wide receiver one, top 10 pick. What he did last year was just remarkable as a playmaker. Anytime the ball's in his hands, he has just these ridiculous instincts. And then he has the body power where he's going to break a tackle. It is very hard for single defenders to get him down. A lot of times it takes help. But with Shenault, because he does break tackles, because he does have that power, that's more hits that he's taken on his body. And we've seen it the last 2 years where durability has been an issue. Missing three games last year, missed a game this year. It's been a shoulder. It's been a turf toe. It's been a core muscle injury. There's been a lot of issues with him. Now, he's also not a very detailed route runner at this point. And that's not a surprise considering, he was a running back growing up, didn't really focus on receiver until high school, didn't play varsity until his junior year. So a little bit of a late bloomer, and he's still learning the ins and outs of the receiver position. But I just come back to how physically impressive he is as an athlete. And he's not a burner. He's not going to run in the 4.3s. I mean, he could be a 4.49 guy. He might be a 4.55 guy. I think it'll be interesting to see what his 40-yard dash ultimately is. But just talking about his athletic twitch, his acceleration, he is a big-time performer anytime the ball is in his hands. And so needs to grow as a route runner. Injury history is a concern. But just the versatile package of size, acceleration, instincts, that's what makes him a playmaker. That's why I think there's a very good chance he ends up somewhere in the first round.
I think another intriguing name on this list here, Dana, one I'm really growing fond of, the more I watch film of him, Brandon Ayuk of Arizona State. I feel like he's really flying under the radar right now. Where would you grade Ayuk? Because I feel like personally, I think he might be a better overall wideout than N'Keal Harry was for the Sun Devils last year.
Oh, he is. I mean, I think he is, no question. And Ayuk was a guy that I profiled back in October, and I had a quote in there from a scout that said he's going to have higher grades across the league than Harry. And I'm, you know, from some scouts, and I'm one of them. And so, you know, that kind of turned some heads, I know, from by some people. And but Ayuk, he was one of those players where he did not make my first round mock draft, and I hated leaving him out because I think he has a lot of the talent to go in the first round. It's all about his speed. And this is another guy who's a little bit of a late bloomer because he was primarily a corner in high school. Goes to JUCO level, and you know his grades were bad. Had to go 2 years of JUCO, and he switched over to offense. Played a little defense, but mainly offense. And then coming out as a JUCO recruit, he received looks and offers from Alabama, some other big schools. But he stayed committed to Arizona State, and last year took a little bit to get used to the offense and FBS play, and he was in the shadow of Harry. But this year, he's absolutely blown up. He's over 1,000 yards. He's a yak monster. He's what I call a runway receiver. You give him any little bit of a runway, and he's going to be able to create. So those slants, those posts, just give him a little bit of a runway, and his speed eliminates pursuit angles, makes it so tough on those DBs to stick with him. But then he also has the vertical speed that he can take the top off of defense and track the football deep and make plays. So in some ways, he reminds me of, say, like an Emmanuel Sanders, because he's not the biggest guy, size-wise. But as an athlete, as just a dynamic playmaker, he's a guy that's really intriguing. So I think Ayuk, if he falls to the second round, which he could because of this draft class and the wide receiver talent, I think he'd be excellent value on day two.
Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the side and get on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season and do the smart thing, go to MyBookie.ag. And if you're tired of watching games from the couch with nothing to gain, MyBookie wants to see you get on the action and get your mind off everything else. So if you join right now, MyBookie will match your first deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer today. And you visit MyBookie.ag today if you haven't already. You play, you win, and you get paid.
Another one that could fall on day two, and one I think is a late bloomer himself because he's more of like a string bean build, but he's a very quick, deep receiver. That's Devontae Smith of Alabama. I know Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy got all the attention there, but what's your thoughts on Devontae Smith?
Yeah, I mean, what I say earlier about receivers, I mean, the two most important things, get open, catch the football. Devontae Smith, he can beat press and create his own separation. Just ask Derek Stingley in that LSU game. And then he has all those receivers on the Alabama roster. Devontae Smith has the best ball skills out of all of them. So, yes, he's 180 pounds soaking wet. At the most, he'll be 180 pounds. Doesn't have the size that you're looking for necessarily. But when you can do those two things that well, getting open and catching the football, I just have a tough time, you know, because coming into the year, I liked him, but I didn't view him as a first-round pick. And then as the season went on and on and on, I just – why not? You know, why would you not consider this guy in the first round? So I think he absolutely will be towards the end of the first round. And then if not, again, like Ayuk, he'll be tremendous value on day two because of, the quickness that he offers as a receiver and then the ball skills. I think he's does those two things extremely well. And I think that's going to carry him pretty far.
The final wideout prospect I want to hit on with you, Dan, before I close out the show with you, Jalen Reagor of TCU. This goes to show you, just this is the eighth wide receiver on my board currently, just how deep this 2020 wide receiver class is. I feel like Reagor could be a guy, if he does hit, he could be tremendous value on day two for someone.
No doubt. Another player I hated leaving off my first round mock because he's going to run in the 4.3s. He's got NFL bloodlines. Talking to, people close to the TCU program, they say he's very buttoned up, professional-like, so I think he'll fit in the NFL. He's not going into a situation that he's uncomfortable with or unfamiliar with. He's shifty in space. He's explosive, does a great job attacking the football. And I do worry a little bit about the ball skills. He's not the biggest guy, and he does have his share of drops. Needs to do a better job protecting the football at the catch point and then as a ball carrier. But so I think the – the average ball skills and the lack of size could be one of those things that squeezes him out of the first round, but he has first round talent. And so, you know, another guy, like we kind of talked about, being tremendous value on day two, if that's how it works out.
Final question for you, Dan, before I let you go. I feel like this Colts team, like you mentioned at the top of the show, Jacoby Brissett, I just feel like the ceiling isn't there with Jacoby. He's a serviceable quarterback, but I feel like you need upside at that position. You need a top 10 quarterback, especially with Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, all starting to bloom right now. Would it be fair to say that the two positions we talked about today, quarterback and wide receiver, are going to be the two biggest needs for this Colts team?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, and it just – quarterback is tough because you don't force it, but – it's obviously a position that you have to address at some point. And, you know, if you want to take your team to that next level, and you just have to, you have to buy in, you have to believe, and you have to be sold on a quarterback. And not everybody, there might be, you know, three teams sold on one quarterback and the other, you know, 29 aren't sold on that quarterback. So it's a very personal thing with these quarterbacks. And so it's tough to project, especially this early. But this quarterback class has a chance to be a pretty good one. If Jordan Love, if Easton Declare, Tua is a complete wild card because of the hip, and, you know, even Jake Fromm, I think Jake Fromm, in that offense, I could do some things. Now, I think his ceiling would be limited as well, but it could have a higher ceiling than Brissett possibly. So in that offense with what they're doing, I think Jake Fromm could be an option in the late one, early two range. So this is really going to be an interesting quarterback class.
Dane, appreciate the time as always. I know you're a busy man, especially during this time of year. Bowl season's about to kick off. Scouting is in full gear. You can follow Dane on Twitter at DP Brugler. Also read his work and subscribe with Over the Athletic on Ray. Dane, appreciate the time as always.
Anytime, Evan. Thanks.